time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, let's do this. Get set.
This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the road. When I got there.
And for a little run, I did. This is Chris Uzinski. Welcome to Running Flat Radio. If you're not familiar with Running Flat Radio, it's the show all about endurance sports, mostly about running, some triathlons, some cycling. But we produce, you know, kind of really fun running events here in Southern Ontario, Michigan, as Running Flat. And the show kind of takes you through these kind of amazing stories behind our sport and kind of show you what really anyone can be a part of at any age, any physical type. All you have to do is just get started. Just get your shoes on, go down the driveway, get down to the stop sign, you know, just keep walking, go down to the next stop sign, go to the next driveway. And when you're starting to run, it's really kind of similar. You know, you got to have little goals, and it's, you know, I'm going to, you know, run to the stop sign, and I'm going to walk to the next one, I'm going to run to the next one, or run to the next driveway, or the next big tree. And next thing you know, and after you do that for a number of days and a couple of weeks, you're running more than you're walking. And it's a great way to start. So last week, we had a really interesting show with a lot of insight from Dr. Larry Schmidt, who's actually one of the guys who runs a lot of our events. And he's from the Canadian Academy of Lifestyle Medicine. Dr. Larry is all about eating better, moving more, making good decisions, helping your genes do what they have to do. And you can listen to that podcast from last week's show either on iTunes or just streaming off of runningflat.com/radio. And you know, with Dr. Larry, I mean, he started running when he was 60, and he's already got like 12 half marathons under him, and I think a marathon he's doing this fall. So, you know, you can start at any age. This week, we have an exciting show for you. My good friend, meteorologist Paul Gross from NBC, joins me to talk about the weather. Yes, how severe it has been, and why so many microbursts, and you're really going to love Paul. And he's going to join us after the break. We have Song of the Week, you know, that song that we choose that's really new and something you want to put that's really fresh on your training music, whether you're working out with it or running with it or walking with it. I don't suggest cycling with music ever. I'm just dead set against it, but it's for your playlist. And after that, we've got Ben Kaplan from Iron Magazine, the editor-in-chief. He's in the last part of our hour, and we're going to be talking about the grieving process and running as therapy. It's a really interesting way of looking at it, and Ben's going to join us to kind of talk about that. If you're interested in the last 3 years' worth of episodes for Running Flat Radio, go to runningflat.com or hit the radio tab, or just go to iTunes and download the podcast. So you know what? Let's talk about some of the Running Flat events that we have on tap for the next couple months, because you know we're nearing the end of the Running Flat season. We don't do winter races. Everyone's always bugging me and said, "Why don't you do a New Year's Day race?" Or why don't you do a, you know, Christmas Day race or New Year's Eve race? I'm like, two things are going to happen. Either you hate your participants or you hate your volunteers. Or maybe it's both. I'm not sure. But it's really, really tough to kind of keep the morale going when, you know, there's 6 inches of snow on the ground and there's a snowstorm bearing down on you or freezing rain. So we're kind of fair weather guys. We start in May with Le Choc a lot, and we go right to Canadian Thanksgiving in October. To, you know, our zombie chase. So, look, a couple things coming up. Pelee Island Winery Half Marathon is sold out for 2017. Sorry, it is sold out. There are no more spots. It's that little half marathon on the island in the middle of Lake Erie that we produce. It's in its sixth year, I believe. And to be honest with you, it's totally sold out. What you'll find next spring is that some people will be wanting to kind of flip out of bibs here and there because they can't make it, and that's the only way you can get into this event now. Hockey Town 5K. Oh, my gosh. It's right around the corner. It's not this weekend. It's next weekend. Totally sold out. Been totally sold out for a long time. It's at the Joe Louis Arena. Sorry, there are no more spots. There are no more virtual spots. Nothing can be added. It is all done, and we're just so excited about this race. It's brought to you by Meyer Powerade. Special thanks to Athletico Physical Therapy, Sunset Produce, Fox Sports Detroit, Running Flat, and 97.1 The Ticket. Race kit pickup for free. The race kit pickup portion is at the Hockey Town Authentics in Troy, and that's 1845 East Big Beaver Road up in Troy, Hockey Town Authentics. It's Thursday, next Thursday from 3 till 8 p.m., and next Friday from noon till 8 p.m. And if you don't make it to that race kit pickup, all of those bibs will be transferred over to the Joe Louis Arena. And if you didn't pay the $5 to do same-day race day pickup, you'll be charged the $5 when you pick it up at the Joe. Zombie Chase. So anyway, look at Hockey Town 5K is going to be awesome. Next week's show will be dedicated to Hockey Town 5K. We're going to tell you all the players who are going to be there. We've got so many surprises in that race. It's going to be a ton of fun. Everyone's wearing red and white. I'll be the guy in yellow. That's how you'll tell who I am. So Hockey Town 5K, September 10th at the Joe Louis Arena. Zombie Chase is open. It's an awesome family event. It is. It kind of ends off our season, and really, it's a great way to spend your Thanksgiving Saturday. For more information about Zombie Chase, which is open right now, go to runningflat.com and hit the zombie tile. Meteorologist Paul Gross from NBC will be my special guest when I come back after these messages to Running Flat Radio.
Summer pass you by. Follow the AM 800 traveling trailer to the best stops in Windsor, Essex, and enter to win a $300 gas card from the Revenberg Automotive family.
It's fun.
Tradition never goes out of style. The Colchester South End Harrow Agricultural Society presents the 162nd Harrow Fair this weekend. Just $8 for adults, $20 for a weekend pass, and children 12 and under are free. It's a rural tradition. Learn more at harrowfair.com.
Check out a complete list of events at am800cklw.com. The traveling trailer is brought to you by St. Clair College Alumni, Libro Credit Union, and am800cklw. If you're a graduate of St. Clair College, stay connected with your alumni association that's over 95,000 strong. Go to stclairalumni.com and be a part of upcoming special events, dinners, and giveaways. Plus, visit libro.ca to find a location near you. Libro Credit Union. Prosper here.
My friend sent me a postcard from Italy. Wish you were here, it said. Oh no, I replied. Keep your romantic gondola serenades, hand-fed grape dinners, and nudie statues. I've got New York Fries' new chicken parm poutine. Fresh hand-cut fries and real cheese curds smothered in mouth-watering marinara sauce with chunks of succulent seasoned chicken and real parmesan. New York Fries' new chicken parm poutine. The best of Italy. Right here, in my mouth.
Here's the forecast from the AMA 100 Weather Center for tonight. Partly cloudy with a 60% chance of showers. Risk of a thunderstorm, the low of 18. A mix of sun and cloud for tomorrow. 40% chance of showers. Risk of a thunderstorm in the morning. Winds becoming northeast in the afternoon. The high of 26. A humidex of 32. Partly cloudy for tomorrow night. Winds out of the north, the low of 15. A mix of sun and cloud for Thursday, the high reaching 22.
When my dad was working, he had a pension. He was never worried about retirement. Nowadays, they're rare, and it's tough to save.
Ontario has been working to help close the retirement savings gap. Now the improved CPP would help close the gap and strengthen retirement security for working Canadians. Visit ontario.ca/retirement to see how these improvements can benefit you. Paid for by the Government of Ontario.
Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Yuzinski here. My guest on this week's show is my good friend and local Channel 4 meteorologist Paul Gross. He was born in Detroit and spent his entire life and career right here in southeastern Michigan. Paul studied meteorology at the University of Michigan Department of Atmospheric, Oceanic, and Space Science. During his sophomore year, WDIV meteorologist Mal Sillars, if you remember that name, selected Paul to be the first ever weather intern in station history. When he was hired as a part-time off-camera position and then an on-camera position by 1986, Paul was working on air at three radio stations at the same time, occasionally two of those stations on the same day. His passion for meteorology quickly earned him recognition amongst his peers, as Paul became one of the youngest meteorologists ever to be selected to serve on the American Meteorological Society Board of Broadcast Meteorology in 1987 and was named chairman in 1990. But it was Paul's science and environmental reporting that helped change the paradigm of broadcast meteorology. Early in his career, Paul started pushing producers to let him work on science stories. Since that time, Paul's researched, written, and produced 8 half-hour documentaries for WDIV, as well as many science, historical, and environmental stories. During this time, Paul kept preaching to his colleagues at conferences the need to do more of the same work. Meanwhile, his work started earning him Emmys and other awards, even national attention, when his documentary Forecast Overlord, the story about the weather impact on D-Day in World War II, was deemed so historically significant that it was added to the D-Day archives at the Dwight D. Eisenhower Presidential Library and British Meteorological Archives, and the Permanent Collection of Museum of Television and Radio History in New York and Chicago. One of Paul's most important professional accomplishments occurred when he discovered in 1997 that Michigan did not require public schools to conduct tornado safety drills. Paul contacted the state legislator, who agreed to introduce legislation to amend state law to require tornado drills. Paul testified before the State House and Senate Education Committees about tornado threats in Michigan and later joined Governor John Engler when the Gross Weather Bill was signed into law. He's worked together on several occasions. We've worked with him at Running Flat. It's got to be for 5-6 years now for professional advice and weather, whether we run or whether we don't at different races. Welcome to Running Flat Radio, my old friend Paul Gross.
Hi, how are you?
You know, awesome. It's so great to have you finally on the air, and we can actually talk about real issues and real weather and real science. And let's all start with, how did you even start in even investigating or even getting interested in meteorology?
Well, it started out as a fear. I was terrified of storms when I was real little. And then when I was in second grade, about 6-7 years old, my second grade teacher took me to the school library. And she pointed out there was a section of books about the weather. And she said, you know, you should check out some books about the weather. As you read about storms, maybe you'd be less scared of them. And I did. I checked out the books, and an interesting thing happened. During the course of that school year, I became less and less scared of storms as I learned more about them, and that then kind of transitioned into an interest. And by the time I was 7 years old, my Uncle Eddie asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I want to be a weatherman. And he said, oh, you mean like Sonny Elliott, the weatherman at Channel 4? And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact. And so since age 7, I've wanted to do what I'm doing.
But realistically, I mean, Sonny wasn't a meteorologist. I mean, he was more of an entertainer, wasn't he, than really a scientist?
Yeah, that's true, although keep in mind, he was a World War II bomber pilot, so if you're a pilot, you have to know something about the weather. But no, Sonny was not a meteorologist, and he was the first to tell you he wasn't a meteorologist. Yeah.
So tell me about, because you lived through this, what was that evolution like from weather personality to like, really scientists, or as you guys call them, station scientists?
Well, you know, what's happened is two things. First of all, and it's kind of a chicken and egg, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg. When TV meteorology first began, actually, TV stations went and got local meteorologists. And so at the very beginning of television, you know, here, it was a lot of just meteorologists, and they were not necessarily the most entertaining people, but they knew about the weather. And then over a period of time, over the next couple of decades, some stations decided there needed to be an entertainment value to the weather segment, and then they started hiring people that were not meteorologists, that were more entertainers, more funny, and so that, you know, and then it got very sexist for a while, too. I mean, there were some stations that were hiring, you know, very sexy women to do the weather, looking for that, you know, that sexist appeal to the men in the audience. And then over time, what happened was the development of computer models and the development of computer graphics, and then the internet, where we could then get that information quickly, all of a sudden now, people doing the weather on TV had more access to information than we've ever had. And then suddenly stations started realizing, well, now they have the ability to warn us in advance about severe weather, to tell us about that hurricane hitting Florida, or even about other stuff like that earthquake that hit somewhere or that volcanic eruption. And so now the tendency has been very strongly shifting back toward getting professional meteorologists that can help protect the public by advising them on this stuff.
And there's also considerable investment. I mean, I for one, love my my Local 4 app that I have on my phone. Most people know that I'm a real weather geek.
And
always checking on the radar, and, you know, and trying to track it and follow it and really just trying to understand exactly where the climate's at locally. And, you know, but there's a sizable investment for Local 4 and NBC to make when you have your own Doppler, you know, locally right there in downtown Detroit.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, there was a time where we actually had our own radar. It was in Southfield, top of tower in Southfield. And the, you know, the time went by and it just eventually, was something we had to get rid of. But we get all of our radar information now through the National Weather Service's radar instantly. There's almost no delay from when they complete that scan on the radar to when we get it. And so radar is vitally important to what we do, because back in the old days, you know, you just had radar just showed you a blob of rain, whereas now we have all of these Doppler products. And let me tell you something. You and I don't have enough time to talk about all of those Doppler products, but just to mention a couple of them,
yeah.
We have velocity products, which now show us the wind inside of the storm, okay? So if there's a storm with a large, deep rotation, we will see a tornado-producing storm, and not guaranteed that it'll produce a tornado, but a storm certainly capable of that. We'll see that sometimes 10 or 20 minutes ahead of time. And then same thing with another product. There's another product that's called correlation coefficient, just to give it a name. And that actually is examining the uniformity of the targets it's hitting. So if you have just rain, you know, the radar sees a pretty uniform target, raindrops. Same thing with snowflakes. But if you have a tornado that is on the ground that's picking up debris, and now you have branches, boards, stop signs, hubcaps from car tires, leaves, and you have all that different kind of stuff now flying in the air, the radar will show us an area where that debris is in the air. We actually call it a debris ball or tornado debris signature. And actually, there have been actually a couple of occasions where I have tweeted out images saying there is a tornado here literally at the same time that the tornado warning was being issued. So this Doppler radar, these advancements we've had over the past 25 years have been crucial to what we can now do.
And, you know, I do want to talk to you a little bit later on in our interview about storms, current weather conditions, and especially the Windsor tornadoes that we had hit last week, which we hadn't seen in decades hit this region. But, you know, I want to just step back a bit because, you know, in your career, you won an Emmy for the Forecast Overlord, and it's the way weather played a role in the D-Day invasion. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I'm a historian. I love history, and I just strongly believe that if you don't know your history, then you don't have a good perspective on the future. So I've always loved history, and this was probably one of the most important weather forecasts ever. And to try and it's hard to condense a half-hour show into a short summary. But basically, this was the most important military operation in history, certainly the largest, and it was vitally weather-dependent. And so, the Allies had set up actually three separate weather forecast teams, and the three teams were located in different places around London. They never got to see each other. They only spoke by telephone conference call every day, and there were disagreements in the forecast, and it was really, it was not a well set up process, but it's what they did. And each branch of the military, the Navy, the Air Corps, and the Army, they all had different requirements of what they wanted. And so there was a lot on the line. And to try and condense the story, suddenly in early June of 1944, you had one of the stormiest patterns they had ever seen set up. You know, just their luck after a quiet, very benign May. And what happened was a big storm was hitting the channel. D-Day was originally set for actually June 5th. And based on the meteorologist, they postponed. And so on June 5th, of course, it was storming like crazy, and it looked not very good for June 6th. And what happened was the forecasters got a last-minute piece of data. I believe it was from a ship in the North Atlantic, and it suggested that behind a cold front coming through late on the 5th, there would be about a 12-hour period of not perfect but marginal weather. And Eisenhower at that point, he's thinking, okay, well, if we postpone two more weeks, the Nazis are going to probably at some point figure out what we're doing. And meanwhile, I've got people who have been on ships out there for 5 days. They're getting seasick in all these storms. We've got to do something. So he made the courageous decision to go with it on June 6th. It was not perfect. The bombers, because of the weather, they couldn't knock out all of the defenses along the cliffs. That's why Omaha Beach and some of those landing beaches were such disasters, because they were death traps, because they couldn't knock out the defenses. But they were able to get it. And by the way, had they postponed the forecast for 2 weeks later, when the next invasion date was actually a forecast for good weather, and a surprise storm, the worst one in 50 years, actually hit the English Channel, and it would have foundered that invasion. D-Day would have been a catastrophic failure had Eisenhower decided to play it safe and wait 2 weeks.
That's fascinating. And in that story that you brought to us is now in the archives at the Eisenhower Museum?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They made that documentary as part of the official D-Day archives at the Dwight D. Eisenhower Presidential Library at the British Meteorological Archives as well over in London.
Fascinating. Will you stay with us through the break?
I would love to. I love chatting about weather. You know me.
Ladies and gentlemen, meteorologist Paul Gross is with us on Running Flat Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
Thanks for calling Able Pest Control. How can we help you?
You did already.
Pardon?
Last week, there were wasps buzzing all around our deck. We couldn't even let the kids go outside. But then our Able guy came, and wow, the wasps are gone.
Gone and guaranteed gone.
Yeah, thank you, Able.
Hi, I'm John Able. Worried about wasps, mice, or other pests? Call Able Pest Control, your local experts that get rid of those pests and safely protect your home or business.
You're covered with Able Pest Control.
Visit able.ca.
They always make sure to start your day off in a good way.
The Morning Drive on AM 800. Your introduction to today.
At 720, how many can you get right in 30 seconds? One of our listeners goes head-to-head with a special guest on trivia. Paul McCann will join us from Top Gun, Kids with Cancer Take Flight, an upcoming event to test his knowledge.
And I'm Leah Hansen for Lisa Williams. We'll get an update on some of the businesses affected by last week's tornado.
The Morning Drive, weekday mornings 5 till 9 on AM 800.
It's 7:30.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor-Essex, an information update with Paul McDonald.
Canada Post and the Canadian Union of Postal Workers have reached tentative agreements. The deals came during round-the-clock talks with a special federal mediator. The labor minister says the agreements were reached voluntarily, but provided no other details. AM 800 listeners and fans of Dr. Joy Brown are mourning the death of the nationally syndicated radio host. Her sister says Dr. Joy died suddenly on Saturday while talking with her on the phone. Brown had been on the air here at AM 800 for more than 20 years and visited Windsor on four occasions. There are six candidates in the running for the Ward 2 by-election in Tecumseh. The nomination period closed today at 2 p.m. Town Clerk Laura Moy says there's a 24-hour grace period if a candidate has a change of heart. Residents will cast ballots by internet or phone between October 4th and the 14th. And LaSalle has a new deputy chief of police. William Chucks Scanlon takes over the position on Thursday. He started in policing in 1983 with the Sandwich West Police, which later became LaSalle Police. In sports, Tigers and the White Sox play in the second game of their three-game series in Detroit right now, that game is scoreless in the top of the second. In Baltimore, the Jays and the Orioles are scoreless in the second as well. Weather-wise, showers and possible thunderstorms tonight, a low of 18. Right now in Windsor, it's 24 Celsius, 75 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul McDonald, AM 800 News.
Running Cloud Radio on AM 800. Get more info on local races and registration at runningflat.com.
And hey, welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Our special guest tonight is meteorologist Paul Gross from Channel 4. And we're just talking about the D-Day invasion. And I guess maybe let me kind of go back a bit. Paul and I have a relationship that goes back a number of years as a race director. I really need professional advice. And, you know, if there's a race that's coming up and we can see the long-term forecast looks decent or it might be, you know, inclement or maybe there's some bad weather coming in, I just kind of tee Paul up, and there's been a number of occasions where I've called him. The monsoon on Pelee Island a couple of years ago.
I remember that one.
Was a classic where we just had this monsoon sitting on us with 3.5 inches of rain and in basically 3 hours with 15-mile-an-hour winds. And then, of course, this last weekend, at Craft Draft, we had this really unique storm front that was kind of two-parted, and then as we came to race time, became one-parted. And then literally 2 minutes before the race started, I called Paul and say, is there any lightning in the area? Because look at Paul. We'll run in rain. We'll run in the wind. We'll run in the snow. It doesn't really matter. But if there's lightning, we're not running.
Yeah, we can't be. I mean, listen, people think that TV meteorologists glorify things and we hype things. No, that's not my game. And lightning is the number two weather killer in, I don't know all of the statistics for Canada, but I know in the United States, lightning is the number two weather killer nationally every year, year after year. And we have to take it seriously. The reason you don't hear about this very often, lightning killing people, is because usually lightning kills one person, and it might be somewhere all the way across the country. And so it might be news over there, but it generally, unless there's some dramatic video or something, you're not going to hear about it here. So you don't realize. I mean, here in the United States, I think 31 or 32 people now have been killed by lightning in this country just this year. And so we have to take lightning seriously. And let me tell you, Chris, the rule is very simple. If you hear thunder, then that means that lightning is close enough to hit you. It's that simple. If you hear thunder, lightning is close enough to hit you.
And it's very dangerous. I remember a number of years ago in Quebec, I was visiting a resort. I was at the top of the mountain. I got to the bottom of the mountain. This is a summer kind of event. And, you know, a storm had hit and killed someone at the top of the mountain while we were there. And never, ever forgot that. And it was just so disturbing to me that you know, we didn't know that there was that threat there and that it was so close to us. And that's why as a race director, I'm just so paranoid about lightning. And all my guys will tell you that I'm always on the weather app checking if we know that there's going to be that, even that hint of it. And I really, really appreciate all the work you've done with us over the last number of years. And I implore other public events out there to be able to kind of think ahead. Have a person in charge of just climate and looking at weather for you and someone who's going to be able to make that judgment for you. A lot of race directors for larger races have a committee that calls a race for a number of different issues, whether it's bomb threats or security issues. And in a lot of ways, it's in our self-interest to keep the race going. Right? I mean, that's kind of what we do.
Well, absolutely. And by the way, there with all the apps, because you mentioned earlier the app, you know, that you always look at, with all the apps out there, there is no excuse for being surprised by the weather unless a storm literally pops up over your head, which can happen, but usually that's not the case. Usually it's moving in from somewhere, and you can see it. As long as you have a smartphone, you can see it coming.
You can track it. You traditionally, kind of from the southwesterly direction or the westerly direction, and you know from where we're at. I live in Amherstburg, Ontario, out on Lake Erie, and you know typically, you know what Monroe will get or what Ann Arbor will get will typically hit us. You know, on an average day. But, you know, I talk to so many folks that run festivals, and there really isn't great contingency plans in place. And with the technology in place, there should be no excuse for it. There should be no excuse for people running for cover.
No, absolutely. It's just, you know what it is, you know, Chris, it's not a matter of being smart. It's just common sense. It's just common sense. I mean, you look at your app and you look at the radar, and if you see a storm nearby, you don't go out for a run. I mean, or you don't go out on the boat, whatever your activity is. It's that simple. And if you hear thunder, like I say, if you hear thunder, lightning is close enough to hit. That's why we have an old saying, when thunder roars, go indoors. Because as long as you hear thunder, lightning is close enough to hit you.
Right. And can we talk about how crazy this summer has been?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, first off, it's been hotter than Hades. And humid like Houston, and it's just been unbelievable. I mean, I think we've broken all the records this summer, haven't we?
Well, there's some we haven't broken, but no, it's definitely been a warm summer. We're probably going to end up a top five warmest summer, and it's just one of those warm summers which are starting to become a little more common. You know, we had a real hot one in 2012, so that's not too long ago. So the one thing I think most people have noticed, though, Chris, is not just the heat, but it's the humidity. It's been very humid, and that's the thing that I think has really got some people. Got some people upset and hot and bothered, no pun intended, because, you know, you can handle heat, but when it's humid, the temperature doesn't fall off at night. And that's the whole thing, is that then it's very uncomfortable sleeping weather, and if you don't have air conditioning, it is brutal.
Yeah. You know, we kind of teased everyone a bit about talking about the Windsor tornadoes from last week. So let's get that out of the way. There were two tornadoes that touched down in Windsor, one in LaSalle and one on the east side of Windsor,
right,
near Walker Road.
Yep.
Those two tornadoes virtually hit unannounced to people in this region by Environment Canada. And they were really quick moving. Even I was looking at that storm, not thinking twice about it. There were also, was there also tornadoes in Michigan at that time?
None in Michigan. There were some in northern Indiana, northern Ohio. And you are correct that these were a surprise. We did not expect severe weather on that day. And, you know, to understand why these fluke tornadoes like this happen, you have to understand there's a large-scale set of ingredients that we look for days with a tornado potential. You know, there's wind shear, the changing of the wind direction, for example, as you go up aloft. And then there's the how unstable is the atmosphere. And we're looking at all these things, not at the surface only, but as we go up in the atmosphere, we're looking at literally meteorological data all the way up to where jet airplanes fly to assess, you know, all of these ingredients in the atmosphere. And at the beginning of the day, we didn't have all those ingredients. And so we were not expecting severe thunderstorms, and there was only a marginal risk. So I shouldn't say we weren't expecting any, but the coverage was expected to be so limited on, you know, last Wednesday evening that we really, it was the lowest level of risk in terms of severe weather. But again, we were not outlooked, you know, really not looking for tornado activity. What can sometimes happen is you get thunderstorms that develop, and if they're in close proximity to each other, sometimes the wind coming out of one storm flows into the low levels of the wind into a nearby storm, and that can kind of create a wind shear that spins up tornadoes. And so, you know, these are the types of things that we've seen happen actually three different times in the past week. You know, a couple Saturdays ago, we had six tornadoes in western Michigan. Again, we weren't expecting them. And then we had, of course, last Wednesday night. And then just Sunday, you know, we had some funnel clouds here in Monroe and Lenawee counties, and right north of the state line here. And again, on all of those days, the large-scale ingredients that we need for tornadoes were just not expected to be there. But little small-scale things that are really hard to predict just happened.
Is this a product of climate change, where we're getting more and more severe kind of microbursts and these storms that are coming out of nowhere?
Well, you know, thunderstorms and tornadoes are a very poorly understood impact of climate change. The climate scientists, and I interview these people all the time, they're not clear on a lot of the implications toward thunderstorm and tornado activity. As far as hurricanes, which there's a lot going on in the tropics right now, there seems to be a consensus developing that a future of a warmer planet will be fewer hurricanes, but the ones that develop will be stronger. So what they're saying is fewer but more devastating hurricanes if they hit land. So, you know, but as far as thunderstorms and tornadoes, the jury is still out, if you will. The verdict is still out as to what climate change is doing to that. Now, I will say one thing. The warming of the planet is evaporating more ocean water into the atmosphere. That's documented fact. And that's increasing the atmospheric humidity. And that humidity is what storms use to produce precipitation. So storms that would have occurred anyway, with or without climate change, are now capable of producing more precipitation. And we've seen already this year three 1,000-year rain events here in the United States. We had Houston in the spring. We had Maryland in the summer. And then just a couple, 3 weeks ago, we had Louisiana.
Yeah.
And so those are three 1,000-year rain events. And so there is a developing consensus that we'll start to see more of those in a warmer world. But in terms of tornadoes, it's very uncertain.
What, you know, look, we have lots of runners that listen to the show. We have lots of folks that listen to the show who are into outdoor events, whether it's cycling or triathlon or swimming. Do you have some advice for people to be prepared, to be vigilant, you know, to watch the app before you go out?
Yeah, and I tell you what, and it's different pieces of advice, but really similar based upon if you're the person at the event who's responsible for monitoring the weather and keeping people safe versus people that are going to the event. Certainly, if you're going to a venue that's an outdoor venue, then absolutely, you want to be checking that radar all the time if there's even the smallest chance for a thunderstorm. So because you don't want to be caught out there with lightning. Let me just tell you right now, that you don't want to be out there for that. And so that's if you're just a person going to an event, and it's an outdoor event in particular. Now, if you're the person responsible for keeping people safe at an event, some people hire weather services to monitor weather for them. I don't know if Environment Canada can help out with any of that, but certainly for major events on our side of the river, our National Weather Service does provide some weather support for large-scale events, you know, things like the downtown fireworks and things like that. You know, our National Weather Service does provide some support there. But everybody has no excuse to monitor the weather anymore, to not do that, because we have it all on our phones now in terms of radar.
Yeah. You know, without a doubt, it's something that you need to be vigilant, and you need to kind of take the initiative and take a look yourself.
Absolutely.
It is so great to have you finally on the air.
Absolutely. Oh, listen, great fun chatting with you, Chris.
Thanks, Paul. All the best.
All right, you too.
Our good friend Paul Gross from NBC, from Channel 4, from Local 4 in Detroit. He is the past chairman of the American Meteorological Society and a good friend of Running Flats. I can't tell you how many times over the last number of years I've called him or texted him and said, dude, what is going on with the lightning before this race? And Paul's always just been a great help. And he's a runner. He's a former runner. He's got some knee issues, and he'll be running shortly, hopefully in one of our events. Love to see him. It's now time for Song of the Week. And the Song of the Week is from a band called Dinosaur Pileup. And this is 1111 on Running Flat Radio.
It's back to school time, which means it's time for a little refresher on how to save money on everything your kids need. Here's the good part. It's simple. Just shop at Walmart. With hundreds of school items for $3 and under, plus essentials like notebooks, paper, and crayons for 25 cents or less, Walmart's here to help you ace this whole back-to-school shopping thing. Now that's smart. Walmart. Save money. Live better.
The LCBO is excited to announce its newest store is now open online at lcbo.com, which means that now you can shop lcbo.com for backyard beers, long weekend wines, and summertime spirits, all from the comfort of the porch, patio, dock, or deck. lcbo.com, the new way to shop thousands of your favorites online.
Here's the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center for tonight. Partly cloudy with a 60% chance of showers. Risk of a thunderstorm, the low of 18. A mix of sun and cloud for tomorrow. 40% chance of showers. Risk of a thunderstorm in the morning. Winds becoming northeast in the afternoon. The high of 26. A humidex of 32. Partly cloudy for tomorrow night. Winds out of the north, the low of 15. A mix of sun and cloud for Thursday. The high reaching 22.
Father Winter here. Brrr, enjoying that icy draft through your home?
No draft here, thanks.
Really?
Yeah, Union Gas fixed it all up. Free.
The Home Weatherization Program. We install insulation and provide other energy-saving upgrades to income-eligible households.
So, no cold spots?
Nope.
Nowhere?
Nope.
All good?
Yep.
Cut your energy bill by up to 30% for free. Apply online at uniongas.com/weatherization.
Okay, fine.
Saving up to $14,000 on a new vehicle is pretty much unheard of. Downplaying it in this radio commercial? Not a chance. Get the biggest discount of the year on a 2016 Ram truck with up to $14,000 in total discounts. Plus 0% financing for 84 months on Jeep Cherokee, Dodge Journey, and select Grand Caravan models. The Summer Clearout Event. See your Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram retailer for details.
At H&R Block Tax Academy, we've got real tax experts who have real working experience and can teach you the ins and outs of the tax industry. And when it's all said and done, we offer real job opportunities. So starting your new career is really simple. Like this radio ad. No embellishments, no fluff. Just enroll in Tax Academy and learn everything you need so you could earn as a tax professional. Register today at hrblocktaxacademy.ca. September classes start soon.
Cause I told you once, I told you twice. I swear I must have said a thousand times. If I am the water, then I am the rain. If I am the fire, then I am the flame. 11-11.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Usinski here. That's Dinosaur Pileup with 11-11 on Running Flat Radio. We kind of pick a song every week that's just kind of really motivating, something to get in your mix. Dinosaur Pileup with 11-11. It's now time for Ben Kaplan from iRun Magazine.
This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800. Tonight's running news is brought to you by iRun.
And Ben Kaplan joins us on the show. Ben is the editor-in-chief of iRun Magazine, available at Chapters and other fine stores across the country. How are you, Ben?
I'm fine, and yeah, and if anybody ever needs a copy of iRun Magazine, they could just come to my house at 163 Sheridan in Toronto, and, you know, we'd be pleased. It's 99 cents.
Everybody should have a copy of iRun Magazine right across the country.
Everyone
who's downloading this podcast should have a copy of that magazine.
That's true. Makes you feel better about yourself.
Yeah. Hey, talking about feeling better about yourself. My condolences to your family. It's hard news to take, and you know, maybe you can tell the listeners about it.
Well, my sister-in-law succumbed on last Monday to glioblastoma, something like that. It's the same thing Gord Downie has. And she was diagnosed in March, and it was quick. and it was painful, and she succumbed on last Monday. Now, so how we turn this around for a running show is one of the places where I found solace, is because with this, and we've all dealt with it, when you're grieving, and I would even extend this to when you've been laid off or when you suffer, and you could quickly feel powerless, you know, and that's a horrible feeling when you feel powerless. But I, I do take solace in my runs. I get out, and sometimes I treat myself and don't wear my shirt, you know, and just take it back to nature. And, it does help. It does help. It does help clear the head. It does help me get away from the telephone and get away from, you know, the grief. So just folks out there, I know I'm preaching to the choir, people listening to this show, but this is one of the cases, I come on the show frequently, that I feel like the listeners have been with me through this and probably gone through their own things simultaneously. So I would say, in a crisis, you know, running will be there. Running will be there. So, it's been very, I would say renewing of my faith in the sport.
And we kind of talk about spirituality of running,
yes,
and running as a religion and stuff like that,
yes,
the reoccurring theme that we've kind of been poking a stick at. And is this an issue of kind of just deep diving everything that's kind of going on inside your head, which is a part of the grieving process?
It's very easy to wallow. It's very easy. I mean, my mother-in-law's over now, and to grieve. I don't know what's healthy grieving, and what's wallowing and what's self-pity and what's and all that stuff spirals, and you just, and you're down, and you get to that spot where, then you're depressed, and then you need medicine, and all of these things, and that those are all very real emotions and very legitimate. But, when the sun is out and I can put on my sneakers, you're not going to cure cancer with that, but it does, put some pep in my step and lets me go another round,
And everyone grieves differently,
yeah,
right? I mean, there's
sure.
different rates and different stages and steps
sure.
within the grieving process.
Sure.
But, there is something freeing about the run, especially the long run. Just kind of equipping yourself and just going out there and who cares about the time? There's distance, but you're out there with yourself.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, that's when you get into it. I do like the spirituality. I do like that you're not afraid of that, because that's one of my fascinations, too. I mean, how do you, you could put on a suit and sit in a church pew, to keep up appearances or whatever, but when you really sort of meditate, if you'll allow me to sort of go down on a tangent, but sometimes, and I don't know, there's the runner's high, and that's one thing, but, you're going and you're feeling good, or you're feeling bad, but you're just out there and you're by yourself. I mean, there's something sort of blissful or meditation. I mean, it's funny to tell people that I sort of slow down when I'm on a run, but you really, you can sort of get lost for a little bit.
Lost for a little bit.
Yeah, that's my life story. that's my title of my next book. Ben Kaplan's stories, lost for a little bit. But I think it's okay to get lost, just as long as you find your way home. I mean, my sister-in-law has got teenage boys, and it's important to be an example, and it's important to be an example for my kids, and it's important to be an example for my wife, in that we will break but not bow. Is that what they say?
Yeah, that's what they say, but it's fresh, and we're really sorry to hear about the news.
Appreciate it, my brother, and keep running, man. Is that what you always say in your sign-off?
That's always.
That's not terrible advice, when in doubt, just it's rare that a quick jaunt around the block actually does harm.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Appreciate it.
Be well, my friend, and our condolences to your family.
Thank you, my brother.
Thanks. Ben Kaplan, the editor-in-chief of Iron Magazine, joins us every week and kind of shared a little bit of the tragedy in his life and how running kind of plays an important role of just getting him to clear his head and getting his mind off the grieving process. You are listening to Running Flat Radio. Running is kind of all these steps and all these stages. And that's kind of why I really invite you to kind of come along in that journey, that running is really all about self-discovery. And the one thing you realize when you become a runner is that you kind of actually like the person that your running partner is. And I mean yourself, because you spend an awful lot of time rattling about ideas and thoughts in your own head when you do go running. And it's really cathartic in a lot of ways, and it's really freeing in a lot of ways as well, because you get to work out a lot of those issues. So I invite you to kind of take that journey and join us in running. And what I'd like to do is say thanks to our special guest, Paul Gross from NBC. And go to clickondetroit.com for his forecast. And also Ben Kaplan, the editor-in-chief from iRun Magazine. You can pick it up on any newsstand across the country and your fine running stores, no matter where you're listening to us. For information about the Pelee Island Winery Half Marathon in 2017 that is sold out, or the Hockey Town 5K, or the Zombie Chase, or the upcoming Le Chocolat in 2017, which will be opening really soon, go to runningflat.com, as well as any of our other Facebook pages and any of our Run Facebook pages, and also follow us on Twitter at Running Flat. Thanks to all of you who are downloading the show in record numbers and allowing me to keep you company for your run, your walk, or your workout. We'll be back in 7 days with the Detroit Red Wings. That's right. And we're going to be talking about the Hockey Town 5K next week. So until then, I'm Chris Uzinski, and keep running.
End of episode.
Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski. Tuesday night, 7 till 8 on AM 800. Running Flat Radio is a paid program. Local news is next on AM 800 CKLW, the information station.